infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am.
Of my blessed Redeemer, I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. His love is the theme of my song.
His child and forever I am.
His child and forever I am.
His child and forever I
am. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Tuesday night, the end of 2024, literally, and the beginning of a new year, 2025. So I wasn't sure what to do for tonight, but what I'm going to sort of go into an introduction to 1 John and lay out some that I have and just discuss it more. I'd like to maybe talk it a little bit more interaction with me if people would like that. I've been really, really greatly blessed by what I'm considered, but for me, a very in-depth study of 1 John. I just got into it and got deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, and I'm really, really enjoying it. So I hope you are too. And let me just say hello to everyone here, and then we can. So I'm not going to. I'll spend as much time as necessary on 1 John. I don't have anything set. It's more just kind of pointing out things and discussing some things. But if we can, it'll be, well, 3 hours on Eastern time before the new year. And already I hear a lot of fireworks around me here. So we could maybe go through with prayer and all sorts of music and anything you want, testimony time, prayer time. So Sister Kathy, how does that sound to you?
That sounds like a plan.
A plan.
Good plan. Like
good plan. Mm-hmm. Now, by two or three witnesses, a matter is established. Sister Sharon, are you a witness to that?
I witnessed that she said it sounded like a plan, and I think that we got a plan.
All right.
And it's a good plan, right?
Two or three
witnesses. Yes, I like the plan, too.
We got
Chi-Chi and Randy.
Yes. Excuse me. Yes, we concur with the others.
All right, I'm going to make this four witnesses. Mr. Reader.
I also, too, agree to go with what the others want to do.
Boy, it was it was all hanging on what you said. So we're gonna go with the plan.
I know.
All right.
I go with the plan.
All right. So this
is going to be good.
Let me open with a word of prayer, and I've kept Sister Sharon in suspense long enough about First John, right, Sister Sharon?
Uh huh. I've been waiting.
Okay. All right. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for all the blessings, Lord. Thank you for your word, the richness, the depth of it, Lord. It's just, there is no end to your word, Lord. It's amazing how it's not like a history book where you learn, you study it, and that's it. I mean, your word just continues and continues and continues, unfolding and revealing. So we thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I ask that you bless our endeavor now into First John, and that there'd be a great blessing from the book, because actually the book, John tells us he's written it that we may have joy and have fellowship with you. So I pray that those objects would be met, Lord. And we thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I met with Pastor Dove today, and we had two business meetings, I guess. I'm trying to think. Well, we had two business meetings, and we had a nice time. We met at a restaurant. It went really good. Otherwise, it was kind of a little bit of a quiet day for me today, and that's about my day. It was uneventful.
You didn't hear from anybody?
Oh, Zephaniah. Yes. I heard.
There you go.
I heard from Zephaniah. But I didn't look at emails until just before the show.
Okay.
So apparently he said that Muslims broke into the church and they stole all the electronic equipment. So that's why we haven't heard from him. And it's been a pretty big setback because we needed that equipment to go forward with the ministry in Makuru Kayaba. So I guess I'll be in touch with him. He was able to email me. I knew something was really serious with it. And Pastor Fred nailed it. Yeah, he said, what do you think about the Muslims? And then my first thought was no, but it's according to Zephaniah, it's that their phones were stolen, laptops were stolen, and I guess the PowerPoint projector was stolen. So, we'll see what happens with that. So, Lord, we thank you that I heard from Pastor Zephaniah. And, Lord, just as we were going to begin in the Makuru Kayaba, this happened. It's a setback, Lord. But it doesn't end it. It's a setback. So we're asking that this would be corrected as soon as possible and that we would be ready to begin the ministry in Makuru Kayaba with multitudes of souls coming to you. That's what's at stake here, Lord. Multitude of souls. The one thing is it shows that the Muslims are feeling a tremendous amount of pressure about the souls coming to you already, and not only in Makuru Kayaba, but many, many other places in Kenya, Lord. Mombasa, the main one, that's the center, the hub of Islam. So, Lord, I guess we're going to have to pray for protection. We're asking for the protection of Pastor Zephaniah and all the brothers and sisters there, Lord. I guess this could... Everybody needs to be protected, the building, the equipment, the people. And we're going to need regular prayer now for your protection. Thank you, thank you, thank you now in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I ask this blessing on your word, Lord, where the Bible says, study to show thyself unto God a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So as I venture into First John, Lord, I ask the rightly dividing of your word, and that it will be a blessing. Lord, it will be edifying everyone. And the big thing there, one of the things John wrote, he wanted the book of 1 John to be joyful for us. So that's what I'm going to ask, Lord, that this book would fulfill what John laid out there, Lord, fellowship with you and joy. Thank you, thank you, thank you now, in Jesus' name. And whatever we do is under the blood of the everlasting covenant that you made with us in Calvary. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. Now, Sister Sharon, do you have your seatbelt fastened? Well, Sister Kathy, I know you have your seatbelt fastened, right?
I surely do. Ready for takeoff.
Sharon's probably figuring, what is he talking about?
Okay. Yeah. All right. I got my mute turned off, so now I can be right with everything that everybody's got to say. I can join in.
Sister Sharon, I have mute here.
I know.
Why do you mute?
But what I do is, just in case people are coming through the room or something like that, or want to say something to me, I keep my phone on mute.
Uh-huh.
Just in case.
Well, why don't I keep you on mute until it's time to talk?
Oh, boy. Okay. We'll try that one. That might work.
Yeah, it will. So, all right. Okay. All right. So, if you're following me in your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 John, and we will begin. Now, this is really, how can I say, rough. It's pretty close to the way I want it, but I'm going to be, as I go further into the book of John, I'm coming back to the beginning to add things in that. So the main information is here, but it's nowhere near finished. Because it's very interesting in, you take Paul's writings, and I'm not in any way negative towards Paul. These are different styles. But you can finish a section in Paul and move on, and it's completely like different. I'm thinking of Romans, for example. But it's not like that with 1 John. There's a lot of tying it all together. It flows. The first chapter you could see in other chapters, and you know, I get into chapter 3 and I'm thinking, well, this really ties in back here to chapter 1. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm trying to get for you to see a comprehensive understanding, a comprehensive grasp of 1 John, because the object of it is God. John wrote 1 John so we could have fellowship with God, with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. That's heavy, folks. That's heavy. And then he wants us to be full of joy. So I'm plodding through this, and it's really exciting. And I've got one section that I'm going to bring out. In my opinion, it's a little bit revolutionary, and I want to share it tonight. Although the connection with the Old Testament and with the Gospels, I should have done that this afternoon, but it's so important I want to bring it out anyways. I can bring the other scriptures in later. So here we go. Let me get it over here so you can see it. All right. This is the background to 1 John. And actually, I was thinking of kind of just ignoring 2 John and 3 John. But as I begin to look at it, there are some scriptures in those little books, 2 John and 3 John, that tie directly in to 1 John. So it's going to be all three. Just a little bit of the second and third John, but nonetheless, these scriptures tie together. All right, so the author is the Apostle John. Now, the date is unknown, except by the scholars, I guess you might call them historians, picking up writings of the early church fathers and that. And they, when you put it all together, it looks like he wrote 1 John very late in life, and that it was about 90 AD. And shortly after that, he was arrested by the Romans. They tried to torture him and kill him, but they couldn't. And they put him on the island of Patmos. So this here, it was written just prior to the book of Revelation. Now, the location, again, this is by the church fathers' writings, was in Ephesus, which of course is in Turkey. And John was the pastor of the church. And that was more than Ephesus. It was apparently like a region. It was a region. Now, the object was of it is he did say for fellowship, and you'll see that, fellowship with God. But what it was refuting heresy. That was one of the main triggers of this book for John to write it, was refuting heresy. Now, I had mentioned, I don't know, a week ago, whatever it was, recently, that the book, to me, when I read it, it was unusual, and it touched me differently than the others. And I'm going to say this maybe several times. I'm not in any way comparing John to Paul in a bad way. I mean, Paul was clearly showing doctrine that was critically important in that. And James, you know, the book of James and Peter and all. But John had a different impact on me in a different way. And I couldn't figure it out until I've taught on 1 John before many, many years ago. But doing it this time, I realized why the John's epistles here were different than the other writers. And because John is writing, the Apostle John is writing like an elderly, loving father. That's what it is. And he's got great wisdom to his children. And you'll see it throughout his writing here. He says, my little children and beloved. It's a total of 14 times. You'll see it there in the five chapters. My little children. And see, if he says, when he says my little children, that means that he's like the father. It's like Abba Father and the little children, and the way it's portrayed in, like Paul writes about Abba Father. So that's the draw to this. My little children. And it's tender, and it's, and beloved. He uses beloved in it. Now, the expression there, my little children and little children, all of all the other writings. In fact, let me move on here first. I think because I detail this out. Let me get to where I detail it out. All right. I can come back to this. I can come back. All right. Here it is. I want to go to my little children. This phrase is used 9 times in 1 John and then beloved 4 times. This is the early Apostle John's tenderness for his church. It is like a loving father talking with his children. This phrase is only used once by the Apostle Paul and no other authors. It's also used once in the Gospel of John. So that's why when I was doing this, and I noticed when I was studying it how many times my little children came up, or little children came up and beloved, I was thinking, I don't remember that in other Gospels. And only Paul once. But in all the other writings, no, it's not there. And in the Gospels, John, Gospel of John once. So here are some examples to this. 1 John 2:1. This is where it first appears. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, in fact, hold on here. Let me go back. And Sister Sharon, any comments?
Yes, Captain.
Any comments about what I'm presenting so far about my little children and beloved being unique to John's writing?
It's what I know what I need to say, but just getting it out that to say it.
All right,
but
now here's the problem.
That you were in chapter 2 instead of chapter 1.
Right, because I'm showing you where my little children shows where it appears in that book in 1 John.
Right.
I'm going back to chapter 1. But see, this is an introduction.
Okay.
So do I have you confused?
No, I'm not. Okay. Since we were going to get ready to start studying this, I've read through and at least chapter 1, two or three times and stuff, and just trying to get my head wrapped around it and be a little bit more prepared.
Yeah, this is an introduction. So I'm explaining a lot of background to it.
Right.
And then we'll get to chapter 1.
Okay, I understand what you're saying and doing.
Okay, now with my little children, and that's unique to John, does that touch you like I was explaining? It makes it like a loving father talking to his little children.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Yes, Sister Kathy. We'll go over to Sister Kathy. Do you see that creating the atmosphere in this book?
It is a precious, come here, y'all. Let me just surround you with love, and let me just pull you into myself.
Yes. Yeah. It's very personal. It's very tender.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Gigi, Randy?
Yes. Actually, we read through the whole book last night, and it's interesting because the only other place I could think of little children is when, but it's not in the same kind of context, is when Jesus said, to bring the little children to him.
Yes.
And so I think it maybe harkens back to that, where he's like a father to us. So I think it's very sweet. But I also think it's interesting. In fact, I was going to write it down and compare it, where he has little children, young men, and fathers.
Yes.
And, because I had someone teach me that years ago, and I know it was wrong, but I don't remember what I was taught or why it was wrong, but later I realized it wasn't right. So I'm very interested to hear what you have to say later on, but I agree. The little children is very dear.
Right.
And sweet.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
And Rita, what's your take on my little children?
It's showing the love that John has for the people that he's writing to. And and I didn't realize you're pointing out how many times my beloved children and my little ones are mentioned in the book of John. I mean, in the epistles. And it's a kind of like an eye opener in a way.
Yes, yes.
That John is such a loving writer to us.
Right. And immediately I picked that up and I said, because we talked about it one day. I was talking about, well, I'm doing this research on First John, and I said, it ministers to me different. And I'm constantly saying, I'm not saying Paul is bad, you know, or James is bad or anything. It's just that there's something about First John, and now I know what it is.
Right.
Now I know
I always thought the epistles of John were different from the rest of the Bible.
Yes.
But
yes.
I couldn't figure out what it was I'm going to figure it out as we go through these studies with you. So I will be able to see what is so different about the epistles of John.
Well, the foundation of it is a loving elderly father dealing with his children. Now, that children would be the church under him, you know? So that's
okay.
What's different. It's tender. This is personally written to the church, his church at Ephesus, and he's addressing them as my little children.
Right. Okay.
You know.
Yes, Sister Kathy.
I just was sitting here as y'all were discussing it, and it's, to me, this is what it is. Paul is accepting us as co-workers, as partners, as soldiers, as not his equals, but more his contemporaries, where John is like you said, the loving father, just, I want to protect y'all. I want y'all to know how deeply I appreciate y'all, and you know, you need to be petted and loved and cherished rather than get out there on the battlefield kind of like that.
But you've touched something, Sister Kathy, because to my knowledge, now please, I'll stand corrected, I don't see Paul as a pastor. I see him as an evangelist, apostle, like going out and going into Greece and starting churches in Ephesus, not in Ephesus, in Thyatira and other places. But then he leaves. I think he stayed in one place for a year, and he probably ministered as a pastor. But John appears to be a long-term pastor.
Yeah, a nurturer kind of.
Yeah. Okay. And Sister Sharon?
Yes.
Okay. Any more comments about that?
No, I don't. I agree with it. It's like the older cousins taking the younger cousins for a walk and showing them the territory.
Yeah. And a real love. It's like family. It's like family. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. First John, let me get back here. I don't think I came out. Yeah, here we go. First John 2:12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. That's nice. That's nice, the way it's approached. First John 2:13. Now, this has to do about the division within, like, church. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Now, right there, little children knowing the Father. Well, he did everything but say, Abba, Father, there. I write unto you, little children. That is the, within the church, that's the new believers, like the young in the Lord, because you have known the Father. Known Abba Father. So right there, you see the connection between young, because, well, first of all, I write unto you fathers, I write unto you young men, and then I write unto you little children. You could see kind of I don't think this is necessary physical age. This is spiritual maturity. And I write unto you, little children, those would be you believers in the Lord, because you have known the Father. And we all should know God as our Abba Father. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him. Even speaking it, it has a certain tone. I have a certain tone about it. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not ashamed before him at his coming. 1 John 3:7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 5:21. This is right at the end. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. So he ends it with little children. That's how he ends. That's how he ends the epistle there. Now, the other time this is found, two other times, little children here. John 13:33 is the Gospel of John. Little children, yet a little while, and I am with you. Now he's talking to his disciples. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you. So there's, he's referring to his disciples as little children, and he's talking about going to the cross and resurrecting. Galatians 4:19 from Paul. My little children, in whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. That's it, folks. In all the, I didn't look at the Old Testament. I looked in the New Testament. I think I did look in the Old Testament. I did. You know, but it wasn't the word little children was, but it didn't apply. It just didn't apply. This is applying to, referring to us in a relationship here as little children. Okay, now here's beloved. Beloved is used 5 times, along with 9 for little children. This is combined for a total of 14. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3:21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also to love one another. So there you go. In 1 John, you've got all, 14 examples of my little children and beloved in the writings. It's not a long book. But it's got like 14 times. He could have addressed them. And he said, you know, my little children, it could have been in the preamble, but he didn't do that. He laced it through the book, which makes it, to me, really adds to that tenderness of the book. So, like, Paul, I don't feel like, it's a different feeling. With John here, it's like it's almost like I'm his disciple. Like I'm almost with John as the pastor of the church, and I'm a member of the church with him. I don't necessarily feel that way with Paul. I see Paul as a teacher, you know, but John is like a pastor and I'm under him. Okay. Is that a fair analysis of the book of First John and the effect of it on the reader, or at least I think most readers?
I would, yes, it was. It's a beautiful way you interpreted it. So, yes, I agree. I'm really enjoying this. So, yes.
Okay. All right. Gigi and Randy, does it give you that feeling that Paul is, John is like the pastor and we're under him?
Yes, definitely. I love First John.
Good.
I love it. It's so personal.
Right. Sister Kathy?
I think it is a wonderful, wonderful way to end the year and start the new year. I just think it is wonderful to be encompassed by this love, and it's just wonderful. I'm glad it worked out this way.
Good. And Sister Sharon, you feel like John is your, not John, Chaplain John, but the Apostle John. Do you feel like he's your pastor and you're under him?
I feel that I can trust what he has to say and what he wants done, what he wants people to know.
Right. Oh, great. Trust. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. All right. Now let's go back and go into some more introduction here. And again, let me get it over so you could see it. Again, it's called the Gnostic heresy. Now, it does not appear in the word Gnostic. And I guess the word heresy is not there either. He does talk about false teachers. Now, but when you read the church fathers, which I don't, I haven't really read any of them because I don't really want to hear anybody quote them either. But some of the church fathers were off in doctrine, bad. Others, they claim like that one there from Egypt. His name is, it's Aristotle's in my mind. His name is, I can't think of it. He's an outright heretic as far as I'm concerned. And others are right on. So I we've got the Bible. I don't particularly care. Maybe some history to tie things together like this, that's fine. But they wrote that there was a big heresy going on at the end of the first century there. Would that be is that the first century? Well, the first century, this would be the zero century. I don't know what you call it. But the heresy was going on at this time. And one of the reasons John wrote First John was to address this heresy. And this explains some of the writings in First John. So I can show you this now, and then we'll get into it later when I'm teaching it. But let's get into Gnosticism first. Now, Gnostic means knowledge. Knowledge. So,
okay.
Yeah. So I'll spend some time. I want everybody to absorb this. Now, the Gnostic heresy, as I was reading about it, was kind of a lot of nuances to it. There was sort of a main teaching to it, but with a lot of side issues. So I'm just addressing the main thought of it. There's a lot more to it than this. Gnosticism, looking at the definition, thought and practice, especially of various cults of late pre-Christian and early Christian centuries, distinguished by the conviction that matter is evil and that emancipation comes through gnosis, knowledge. So matter is evil. And that's why the Gnostics were heretics, because they didn't believe that Jesus Christ would come in the flesh, because he was matter. He had to be a spirit being without a body. He was a spirit being, which of course is, he came in the body. He had a mother and a father, and and he shed his blood on the cross. He had to be God incarnate, dying for us to shed his blood for us to be redeemed. So the Gnostic heresy there was going right after the reality of who Jesus Christ was. Then you got Gnosos, esoteric knowledge of spiritual truth held by the ancient Gnostics to be essential to salvation. So their spiritual truth, salvation was centered upon their spiritual truth. If you follow what I'm saying here now. Now, belief. A prominent heretical movement of the second century Christian church, partly of pre-Christian origin, Gnostic doctrine taught that the world was created and ruled by a lesser divinity, the Demiurge, if I'm pronouncing it right, and that Christ was an emissary of the remote supreme divine being, heresic, esoteric knowledge, Gnosis, of whom enabled the redemption of the human spirit. The Lord was an emissary of the supreme God, which doesn't say he was the supreme God, and that you come through knowledge is how you obtain redemption. So no matter how you cut it with the Gnostics, whatever nuances in their beliefs, there was no incarnation of Jesus Christ. He couldn't have been matter. He was a spirit being. He was an emissary. He wasn't, the matter was evil. Matter's not evil. There was lesser gods, greater gods. That's basically Roman and Greek paganism. But God was not incarnate in Jesus Christ. So that was the heresy. So when we look at the writings of John, with that knowledge, with that Gnostic knowledge, we can see how he was addressing it in his writings. And it really cleared up one particular set of scriptures here in chapter 5 that I thought was, I understood what it was saying, but I didn't understand how it was connected to his writings. But as I realized what the Gnostics believed, then I can apply that to John's writings, and then it fits perfectly. In fact, I might as well show you that now. Before that, Sister Sharon, any question about the what's called the Gnostic heresy? Any questions about it?
And to me, it's like you're using like a double term.
Okay, explain it.
Okay, that agnostic would mean against something, and then heresy is also against something.
Yeah, heresy is against truth. But do you understand the Gnostic belief system in a general sense?
No.
All right, matter is evil. So Jesus Christ couldn't come in the flesh. He was a spirit being. The way to get redemption was by the Gnostics' knowledge. That's how you redeem. And the universe was created by a lesser God, And okay. Christ was an emissary from the Supreme Being, and that so that's the person of Jesus Christ, or the spirit of Jesus Christ. He wasn't God. He was just a messenger, like an angel, I guess you could say. So the big thing to know about the Gnostic heresy is Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh.
That Jesus Christ was what?
Did not come in the flesh.
Oh, okay.
If Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh and shed his blood, you know, then we don't have eternal life. I mean, the penalty is still
right.
He had to pay the penalty as a man. Okay?
Okay, yeah.
All
I
right.
can understand. I get it.
All right. Mr. Kathy, any question about the Gnostic heresy?
No.
Okay.
Gigi? I will have a comment, though, about the theology of Paul and John compared, but that I'll do that when you get through.
Okay. Gigi and Randy, any question or comment about the Gnostic heresy?
No. I understand what it is. You understand?
Yeah.
It's good to go over it, though. Thank you.
Okay.
And before you ask Rita, I think Sharon is hearing the word agnostic rather than just Gnostic.
Oh.
Because that's what she said, the two different words.
Yeah. Yep. You're right, Kathy. You are correct.
We're not, agnostic means without knowledge. You know, so an agnostic person, and you have a atheist, which doesn't believe in God. And then an agnostic would be someone that says, well, look, if you show me enough proof, I'll believe in God. That's what an agnostic is.
Okay.
All right. So these are not agnostics. These are, you take the last part is knowledge. Gnostic. So Gnostic means you receive eternal life by knowledge, their knowledge. When you receive their knowledge, that's how you have eternal life.
Okay.
All right. Rita, any question or comment?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. No, I don't have any. I don't have a comment, and I don't have no questions.
Okay. As long as you understand it, then you know we can move on. Now, Paula Jean.
Yeah, I think I do.
Okay, Paula Jean. Hello, Paula Jean. Yes, you might be muted, Paula Jean.
Oh, is Rita done? She sounded like she was finishing up with something, but
No,
I'm done.
Yeah, she's done.
Okay, good. Okay. I really appreciate other people getting your answers because you did make it clear that in Gnosticism, they believe you need to believe what they believe. And by believing what they believe, you will be saved. And but they don't believe that Jesus Christ is in the flesh because the flesh is evil.
Right.
And he's an emissary of the highest being, and so he would not be in the flesh, and he wouldn't be here to save us from our sins
right.
by the shedding blood.
Exactly.
So we have two diametrically opposed perceptions of what Father God set up for us as our means of salvation. That's what I'll say.
Right. And this heresy, for whatever reason, had penetrated the church. Now, you got to remember, we're talking about Greek areas under Rome, and the Greeks and the Romans have the pagan. They're pagans. So you're talking about the lesser God, the greater God, and all that's paganism. Mm-hmm. So apparently paganism still had roots in the thinking of people in the church then, and that's why the Gnostic could appeal to them. Everybody understand that? Okay.
Yes.
Well, no, I wouldn't think that the Gnostics would actually, and obviously I'm wrong, I wouldn't think that they would include lesser gods in their salvation message.
Well, I don't know. I didn't. No, you have to understand, Paula, I'm just giving the bigger view of this. I'm not, Paula Jean.
Oh.
I'm not.
Okay. Okay.
The bigger view.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I know anything differently. I'm just logicking it out.
No, don't do that. You just know that there was a lower deity and that there was the supreme being, and the supreme being sent Jesus Christ for knowledge of how to have eternal life, and had nothing to do with dying for sin or his shed blood or anything like that. But the fact that they had lesser gods and, or maybe one greater god, is paganism.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So with that, let me just turn to my Bible. Hang on. Let me see what I have here next. Yeah, let me just turn to my Bible and I'll read it. It would be the best thing to do. And if you're going to follow along with me, turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1.
Yeah.
Okay. It says here, that which was from the beginning. Now he's talking about Jesus Christ, because this matches perfectly with the Gospel of John.
Yes.
Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon. Now look at this, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So John opens like this, and that's head on with the Gnostic heresy, because he says, we've seen him, we heard him, we touched him, we handled him. Now, it doesn't say that he's just a spirit or anything. He's addressing, in this first verse, he's addressing the Gnostic heresy. He has, his eyes have seen Jesus Christ. He has heard him, and he has touched him. He's handled him. That's not a spirit being. That's a human being. You follow?
Yes.
Does everybody follow that? That's why 1 John opens the way it did.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm with you.
1 John chapter
1, verse 1.
Okay. I'm on the wrong. I got my electronic going, but I'm not in the right.
Okay. Just listen, Sister Sharon. Yeah. Just listen. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard.
Right.
Which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. See, he's touched. He's physical. Jesus is physical. They've touched him, of the word of life.
Okay, right.
You know, he is the word of life.
You just helped me figure out what's going on with my mess. I'm not used to this electronic Bible.
That's,
you know, where you just kind of clip through and find a chapter and page where instead of, I'm going to have to get my real Bible out to where I can open up the book.
Sure.
And,
that's okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
right.
But at least I'm finding out what I'm doing wrong. So that makes me happy.
All right. So now what I'm going to do as we go through 1 John, the verses that I see connected with the heresy like that, I'll show you them, and we'll make a little section, teaching section, and like this verse here. It doesn't say Gnostic heresy, but they were saying he was a spirit being. John is saying, I've handled him. I've spoken to him. I've touched him. You know, we shook hands. So he was a human being, not a spirit being. Well, he was a spirit being in that we all have spirits, and he has the Holy Spirit in him, but he had flesh. He had a body. Now, if you follow me on this, I want you to go. This is a big one for me. I want you to go to 1 John chapter 5. Okay. So we in 1 John chapter 5, and we come to verse 5. 1 John 5, 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now,
amen.
It goes, I understand that perfectly. But then it says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. So it says, who was he that overcometh the world, but he that believed Jesus is the Son of God? Now, the Gnostics don't believe he's human. They believe he's a spirit being.
Okay.
So this is he that came by water and blood. That's birth. That's the human birth. Even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. So, see, John is detailing that he was born of water and blood.
Right.
And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. So the Holy Spirit bears witness to us that Jesus Christ was a man. Do you see that? That's why it says he came by water and blood.
Because he was a man.
He was born of Mary.
Yeah.
A virgin birth.
Virgin birth, yeah.
So the Spirit was the one that gave him life, but when he was born, there was water, that's for sure. And
right.
He came with blood.
Yes.
Isn't that neat? Now I understand that. When I looked at it, it was so strange to me. Like, verse 5 and 6, there was this big disconnect. Like, what? Now when I understand the Gnostic heresy, that verse fits perfect. Now, you remember the Gnostic heresy with the lesser God and Jesus, the higher God, and Jesus was an emissary. Now, 1 John 5, 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. You see it? That's addressing the Gnostics. He's laying out the Trinity here to go right after the Gnostic heresy that Jesus was an emissary from the higher God. He's explaining who God is. He's the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost.
And those are three in one.
Right. Isn't that neat?
Yes.
And that's the verse, if there's one verse that's attacked in the Bible, not by the people outside the Bible, but people inside Christianity, it's 1 John 5, 7. They're saying that was added. It was never, it's not added. I think I want to do, at some point, I want to do a little bit of a detailed teaching on 1 John 5, 7. I don't have to defend it, because when I say defend it, I know it's the Word of God. It is. It fits the whole thing here. But there are those within Christianity that attack it and said that it was added to the Bible. It was never in there.
Right.
You know. But it's perfect
right.
when you understand. When you understand,
you're going to have trouble. I'm sorry. Are you going to have trouble with people who make it almost impossible for themselves to believe in the Holy Trinity?
Well, this verse is so clear, and
right,
they attack it. And like if you look at the modern Bibles, they butcher verse 7. They take it out. And they connect verse 6 and 8 together. It's weird. But anyways, I'm
right.
just showing you the Gnostic heresy, how the lesser God, the greater God, Jesus was an emissary. He lays out here in a real clear way the Father, and they're in heaven, bear record in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So that's taking the Gnostics on.
Right.
And there are three that bear Witness on Earth, verse 8. Where is it? Oh, and there are three that bear witness on earth, the spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. This has to do about his death now. There are three, because we already, covered his born of a virgin, a man, you know, he's born a man. Verse 7 shows who he is as God. And then verse 8 does the ministry here on earth. And the three that bear witness in the earth, the spirit, the Holy Spirit, the water. Do you remember when he was on the cross and the Roman centurion speared him in the ribs? Water and blood flowed out of him. And these three, these three agree in one, that he died for our sin. So these three verses go right back to verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That he was born as the Son of God. He was born of a woman, as a man. He his position is in heaven as the Trinity, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And then on earth, the Spirit bears witness that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, the water and blood poured out of his chest. Because it says it right in John. And that's how he died for our sin. These three agree in one. So any questions on this? Okay, so this really cleared it up. I understood, like, by itself, that section of scriptures, but I didn't understand the connection with who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. But it was addressed right at the Gnostic heresy. So this is he's anchoring the believers with that section here, who Jesus was. So in verse 1:1, he was, you could see him, you could hear him, you could touch him. He wasn't a spirit being. He is a spirit being, but his body was a body of material. It was flesh. And here it's showing his background, that he was born of a woman, that he is the God of heaven. He's not an emissary of the greater God. He is the greater God. Yeah. And then his ministry. Holy Spirit bears witness on earth that when he died, he died, the spirit and the water and the blood, these three agree in one. That's his ministry, shed his blood, well, water also when he died, and his blood on the cross. Now, I want to show you while we're here, one scripture that it's so tender, it's crying out, as you read it, 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Isn't that tender? For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. You could just, yeah. I could almost hear John speaking from the pulpit. And he quotes 1 John 5:3. Now, this is the love of God, believers, beloved. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Isn't that tender?
It is. Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Now, I'm going to close with this, because remember, this is an introduction. And I have more of an introduction, but I think I'm going to finish. Now, I'm going to question everybody, but I'm not going to ask you. When it talks about God's commandments, and I mentioned this earlier, like John, let me quote John. Let me go back there and quote John. Well, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now, with that, his commandments, what do we normally think? So, of course, you think of the Ten Commandments, all right?
Right.
But then Jesus, they asked, the one guy came and he asked the Lord, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, you shall love God with your whole heart and soul and love your neighbor as yourself. Remember that in scriptures?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He basically is saying that's the Ten Commandments. So I one of the things that I intuitively knew of the Lord, that when I heard the preaching on keeping the commandments, and also Jesus in the Gospels summarized it like I just told you, that the way it was being presented today from the pulpit was wrong. The way I heard it anyways, I'm not going to say everybody was wrong. I never do that. But I knew it, and there was something that I sought the Lord. I said, Lord, this is like a works type thing. You know, it's like faith in you is not in it. There's something missing. And I don't know how long it took, but it took a while. Years later, the Lord got it to me, and it's right in 1 John, and it's powerful. So when one of the things I'm going to do in 1 John, well, in fact, I'm going to do it right now because I can do it through my Bible, my Bible research. Commandment in 1 John. And let me get here. Okay, the word commandment in 1 John is found, 1 and 2 John is found 10 times. All right,
okay.
That's a lot. So, Sister Sharon, you remember the math here, all right, 10 times.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hi. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now let's look at it plural.
Yeah.
Let's look at it plural, all right?
Right.
And I want to tell you why this is so important. Okay, commandments. All right, commandments is found 8 times. So that's 18 times, correct?
It's 8 times.
Right, 8 and 10 is 18. That's a lot. That is, to me, that's a lot in that 5 chapters there. That's a lot of use of the word commandment. I mean, John is really hitting home here. Like when we get to 1 John 5:3 there, which I just shared, and this is the love of God that we keep his commandments.
Yeah.
His commandments.
And then that goes on and says that they're not grievous. So what that means to me is that it's not a hard thing to do.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
We love the love of God and we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous.
Exactly. You got it. Now, so let's find out what his commandments are. Because 1 John tells us when you see the word commandment and commandments in 1 John, he tells us what it is. So we go to 1 John, let me get back here, to chapter 3. And this is probably one of the most important things which I'm going to show you. And it, to me, when God showed me this, it took like a burden off me, you know, keeping his commandments. So we go to 1 John, chapter 3, we'll go with 22. And whatsoever we ask or we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment. Praise God that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave me commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. That's believing on the Lord and loving one another.
Amen.
And he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So the belief on his name and love is his commandment, which is not grievous. So when you see it, like in verse 22, because we keep his commandments, God answers our prayers. Why? because belief in Jesus Christ is our Savior. See, that's, I knew all along it was, but it took me a long time. And again, I don't know how long was, but I remember when I heard that preaching, like it was like based on us. And no, 1 John 3:23 says it's based on faith and love. That's his New Testament commandment for us to live by. So 1 John 3:23 is one of the most important scriptures in 1 John. And this is his commandment. So when 18 times it's mentioning commandment in the book of 1 John and 2 John there, the definition of it is believing on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and then love, as he gave us commandment.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that nice?
Yes, it really is. It is.
Now, go back to 1 John 5:3.
1 John, book 5.
Yeah, verse 3. And you read it before. Can you read it again, Sharon?
Right. Okay. It's, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous.
So what is his commandments? Number one, to believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. And number two, love one another. Love. That's why it's not grievous.
Right.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Isn't that nice?
You can look at these words, and if you let words confuse you, you would never get anywhere.
Well, right. Right. And here, but we know what commandments are. We know what his two commandments are. And they're not grievous. Faith in Jesus Christ and loving him and one another and all. So it's faith in him and love. That's why it's not grievous.
Amen.
Yeah, I'll go with it. I will.
Okay. So let me get over here and take a look. That's all for tonight. Like I say, it was an introduction. And later on, we will get into studying it verse by verse. But I really wanted to get this out, and I'm very excited. Now, hang on here for a second. Yeah, here we go. Okay. So, Sister Sharon, I think you got – I just know that you got a lot out of tonight.
Yeah, I did. I really did. And I just need to – I know I always say this, I need to go and reread it and stuff and re-listen to it. And I got it right now to where my Bible is open, wide open on my computer and stuff. And I'm just very happy to, you know, have that happening so I can really look at things and make more sense out of it.
Well, two things happened. On the technical end, you've got your Bible now, the electric Bible that you can go in and out of. That's good. And then, you know, like I the whole teaching, I saved this for last. I told you when I started the study that I was going to do this because it's almost like revolutionary. 1 John 3:23 is like, I think they can read over that when they're reading 1 John. It tells you what his commandments are, and they're not grievous. Faith and love.
Right. What they're basically saying is it's not a hard thing to do.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not
there and do it.
It's not keeping the Ten Commandments. It's loving God with our whole – it says and that you love God with your whole mind, soul and heart. That means faith in Jesus Christ. That's what that means.
Right.
In the New Testament, what Jesus was talking about there is faith in him. That's how we love God with our whole heart, mind, and soul. Faith in him.
Absolutely. And that's easy to understand.
Yes, it is. Yes, Sister Gigi.
I just have a I don't have my Bible open, so I can't find it. But my understanding, I mean, I understand what you said, and that's really good. but didn't Jesus actually fulfill all the commandments?
Yes, and that's because he was righteous. He fulfilled all the commandments, and when we believe in him, that his righteousness is imparted in us.
Yes. So then, because in the past they were following it like as a rule based, but this is now love based. So
yes.
If you love me, right? If you love me, the question, you know, if then, right? If you love me, then. And so
right.
It's much easier. I mean, I think we can all relate to this. If we love somebody, we want what's best for them. We want to help them. We want to encourage them. We want to protect them. All of those things, it just comes like as a package. I don't like to say it in that way, but it's because you're living the transformed life, because you're living it through the Spirit of God, right?
Yes.
You're being empowered by the Spirit of God, where they didn't have the Spirit of God. Some of them did, but not everybody. But now we have the Spirit. And so, you know, just on a personal note, I just realized something yesterday that I was trying to overcome. And then all of a sudden, it was like I put it in context for myself. And I realized why I've been having this issue. Now, it's not like a super sin or anything, but I couldn't overcome it. But that's because I didn't know kind of where it came from. Now I know where it came from. Now it's going to be totally easy. And I was praying to the Lord, please show me. And so he did. You know, he showed me. So it might take me some time because it's a mindset, right? But I'm just thinking, okay, I just go to him. And I say, I don't understand this. And then in a very kind-hearted, sweet way, he shows me. So it's easy. It's easy because I love him and I know he loves me. So it's easy in a good way because
yes.
It's coming out of love. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
You see, that belief and love is not grievous. But the other way that, and I really don't like doing this, but I don't name any names because I don't remember names. All I remember is when I heard preaching on you got to love God with your whole heart, soul, and mind. That's true. But that's like yourself. And
yeah.
Bible says it's not grievous and it's faith. In the church age, what it is faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. And that's not grievous.
Right.
And loving one another.
Right.
He fulfilled the law. And that law is imparted, his fulfilling the law. He's righteous. When it talks about the Lord being righteous, that means he completely lived and fulfilled God's law. There wasn't one sin in him. Nothing. Everything. He fulfilled God's law. So God sees us, his righteousness is imparted into us. So what is his righteousness? He kept the law. And that's imparted into us. So that's why Jesus' shed blood is took care of the penalty for us. But there's more to it than that. In that his righteousness, and I'll show you that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So we don't have a penalty for sin on us because of what the Lord did. But not only that, we have his righteousness imparted into us. I said 1 Corinthians, it's 2 Corinthians. All right, let me get down to it. All right, here. All things are of God, verse 18, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Then it talks about us being ambassadors for Christ. And then verse 21 says, for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made. Now look at this, the righteousness of God in him. I mean, that's incredibly powerful. For he made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So, Jesus was righteous because he kept God's law. And that's imparted into us. His righteousness is imparted into us. So it's not only that he take the penalty for our sin, which we could not approach God at all without the penalty being removed, but his righteousness was imparted into us, which is incredible. God sees, yes, as Christ kept righteous, he kept the law perfectly. God sees that in us. Isn't that amazing? So the penalty is gone, and God's righteousness is imparted into us.
Yes. It's when you realize this, you think, how could people follow other people? How could they follow other things, other little gods kind of thing? And you think, you know, maybe they've never heard the truth the way that it should be taught. I don't know.
Right.
But
I
think the little children idea in that scripture is speaking to us on a level where if we are like little children, right? If we are like little children, it's easier.
Yes.
You know, we don't have to be theological giants. It's good to be able to know what the scriptures say. That's good. But I'm just saying, you don't have to be a theological giant. In fact, some people that are, they can't obey. When it's just like a little child, you just obey like a little child.
Yes.
You love your father.
Right.
You love your father or your mother, and you obey because you love them. Pretty easy.
You're going to see John when we get into it, 1 John. You're going to see about him, us being righteous like he is righteous. So that righteousness is imparted into us, but we are to live righteous now. You follow?
Yes.
That's part of being a believer in Jesus Christ. That's part of being a disciple of the Lord. That we sins fall off us. We get victory and sins fall off us because that's our new nature. And John is saying in there, if that isn't manifesting in you, then you make God a liar. You know, I mean, when we get into 1 John, there's a serious message in there. Don't play with sin. Do not play with sin. So we'll cover all that as we get into 1 John, as we go into it, you know, verse by verse. Okay, Paula Jean, is there anything else you want to mention or talk about? You might be muted, Paula Jean.
Oh, yes, I was talking. Yes, I think it's a perfect way to bid farewell to 2024 with new insight, expanded insight and understanding, greater appreciation, and to greet the new year of 2025, because Jesus is our Savior. Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit gave us life, gave us the plan, and are guiding us through it, protecting us, and providing for us. And what better way to celebrate the year that we've had and where we've come to, and now that he's got a way that we're going.
Okay, amen. Amen. Rita?
The teaching was absolutely great.
Well, thank you.
And my heart is so full with joy. And I have read the Epistles of John over my 50 years of salvation. But it took you, Chaplain John, to open up my eyes that being saved, our lives are not grievous.
Exactly.
Because the only two things we have to do is love the Lord God with all our whole heart, soul, and mind, and His Son, and to love our brothers and sisters, and to love other people. And it's just like an eye opener for me tonight. And like I said, I've read that passage over and over again throughout the years, but it took a teacher that was led by the Lord God to show me what it really means. So I thank you, and I thank the Lord God for you, Chaplain John.
Oh, thank you.
And so thank you.
Yeah. But the same, see, I went through that process that you went through, because I was reading First John, and then all of a sudden one day, that verse 23, I stopped at it, and the Lord took my mind right back to the Gospels about Jesus saying you have to love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul. You know, and I said, here's the verse. This is the verse. This is His commandment. This is the commandment that we're to keep and love one another. So that did, that was revolutionary for me also.
Same here.
You know, that is I suggest everybody get anchored there in 1 John 3:23 and, maybe even memorize it. Because it's a powerhouse. It is a powerhouse of a verse. And it does take a burden off you of like works. Because His commandments.
This is great.
His commandments are not grievous.
No, they are not.
All right. Gigi, anything else? And Randy, anything else you wanted to add or any Sister, hold on. Sister Kathy, are you looking in Rumble?
I have it on. I wanted to read something right quick. There's no question there, but at this point, but now that we mention it, maybe somebody will put it. But we were struggling kind of to define and formulate a concept of the difference between John and Paul.
Yes.
And if I can read just this, it says, Paul and John represent the two most distinctive types of apostolic doctrine. Their marked differences in personality and in methods of thought make a comparison of the types which they represent at once a difficult and fascinating task. Paul is a representative of a Christian schoolman of his time. He is practiced in analysis and argument. John illustrates rather than the meditative and intuitive order of mind. Paul is always seeking to argue out the truth and to prove it from Old Testament and from experience. John simply sees the truth and declares it, and is confident that those with an eye for it will see it and accept it. Paul's method is more inductive. John's is more deductive. The former is the illustrated in piling up proofs that the doctrine of justification by faith in Romans, the undeniable corruption of the heathen world, the equal depravity of Jews, and the multiform testimony of the Old Testament are proofs which combine and show that salvation can only be by grace and never by merit. For John, however, the work of salvation seems to flow naturally from the very nature of God as love.
Yes, absolutely. Whoever wrote that nailed it, Sister Sharon. Nailed it.
Yep. It was a man named George Stevens, a PhD and DD at Yale University.
It was probably many years ago.
I was going to say, it doesn't say, but I feel like it was.
I'd say 100 or more years ago, Sister Kathy.
Yeah. It wasn't recent, I promise you.
Yeah, but even in a very intellectual way, he nailed it.
Amen. Yeah.
Right.
And that was what we were struggling to define.
Right. Yeah. I it's hard to put in words, but he did. He did. He put it in words.
He sure did.
Yeah. Isn't that nice?
Amen. Kind of ties it up in a bow, and but it's been a wonderful night.
And this is all Sister Sharon's fault.
Yep.
Yes, it is. I take all credit for this blame.
No, because you were so be anxious for nothing, but you were anxious for First John, and you were in my head. And I gotta get this done for Sharon. I gotta get this done for Sharon.
I'm enjoying it. Is that there's so much similar wording, but at the beginning of the Bible and at the end of the Bible with First John and everything. It's just,
with the gospel. Yeah, I haven't begun yet. You see, but I've learned something here in doing what I just did. I think it's very good to do the introduction informal. You know, I did this informal. Rather than like teaching you the introduction, which I did, but I discussed it with everybody. And I think that that's really good with that approach.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's able to put in their 2 cents or 3 cents or whatever, and we can discuss these things.
Right.
And enjoy it a lot.
So I wanted to make sure that when we got into the introduction, which is kind of the foundation, that everybody understood it. You weren't lost. You know, that, cause that Gnostic thing, I mean, the Gnostic is, what's the word? You know, it's strange. And, so that took a little, I want to make sure everybody understood it, because the Gnostics, John is partially addressing in his teaching. So when I showed you that tonight, he begins with it. We touched him. So why did John have to put that in the beginning? That's the very first thing he opened up with. I mean, Paul says he saw the Lord, you know, that the Lord taught him and all, but not that intimate that I looked on him. I seen him. I heard him and I touched him. And that was to tell the readers, if they were being swayed by the Gnostic heresy, that no, he wasn't some mystic spirit. He had a body like we did.
Right.
Now that makes sense. So the way John opened up,
sure does.
We it makes sense. So I'm really excited about continuing now, week by week in First John. Like I say, I did put, I mean, I have much more material than this. I'm in chapter 2, but there was a lot of thought that was involved in this on my part, in prayer and thought and laying it out. And I didn't like the way it was laid out. And I redid it. And then I added some scriptures here. So I'm enjoying it. I'm not complaining. I just want to know it's tedious, but it's worth it, isn't it? I mean, it's so exciting the way the information comes out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree. So. And I think I was thinking last Friday before we started our teachings and stuff and talking, I was going to just have everybody First John, but I just kind of forgot to do that. But that's what I wanted to do, is have everybody work on reading First John.
Okay. Yeah.
And, well, I don't know if you remember, but when I first found out about this this biopsy thing, I went immediately to God and asked him what I was supposed to be focusing on during this time in his word. And you had been teaching on 1 John 5, and that same day he told me 1 John 1 and 2 and all of the book of John. And so I was delighted that you have spent so much time in 1 John.
it's been
a tickle and a thrill. A tickle and a thrill, and going deeper, and letting him show you things, and show all of us new things. And the Gnostic thing that he addressed is very important, because it was really a big problem at that time.
Yes.
Wasn't it?
Oh, well, yes, it was. And as I think about it, it's because of... They were coming out of paganism. It was pagan thought. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, to us, right. it looks ridiculous. But to them, it was a background they had, you know. And so their minds had to be cleansed of those strongholds. So that's why that heresy was affecting the church.
Yeah, and I'm thinking the Gnostic issue may have entered into the Mary Baker Eddy cult type thing, because there was something similar in that.
You talking about Scientology?
I don't know about Scientology, because what I was raised in was
Christian Science. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I agree with you. Yes. Now that you mentioned it. Yes.
So anyway, it was good for me. Very good for me. And I thank you.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. Sister Rita, would you close? Would you just pray to the Lord and thank him for this, the teaching part? Because we can go into the music now.
Okay, I will. Father, I give you thanks, Father, for dying for my sins on the cross, that I may have life, Father, and that I may have it more abundantly. And I give you thanks, Father, for all that you have provided to me and how you have blessed me throughout my whole life, Father. Even before I was saved, Father, I could see your hand on my life then, and how you stopped me from doing things that would have been destructive to my person. I give you thanks, Father, for this. And Father, I want to thank you, Father, for leading me here to this prayer, to John McTiernan teachings, to this, I don't know what you call it, to this prayer line. I give you thanks, Father, that you direct me to this prayer line, and that I was, and Father, I thank you. I'm inadequate, Father, to express in words how I feel tonight about my eyes being open to when I got saved. I tell you, Father, thank you that I give you thanks for my salvation. But tonight, Father, it seems to have more of a meaning to me, that loving you does not, my loving your son, Father, and loving you, my life is no longer grievous in any aspect of my life. And that the only two things I need to do in my Father is to love you and your son, and to love other people. So I give you thanks, Father, for dying for my sins on the cross. And I pray for everybody now, Father, that is in the chat room, Facebook, X, and then and online right now, Father, that you would bless them
and encourage their father, and that they will come to love your son more each day, Father. For I pray this all in the name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's quite a testimony, Sister Rita, about the burden coming off and just believing on the name of, you know, the Son of God and loving one another. I can't pull the scripture right now out of John, but it says, by men shall know you're my disciples if you have love one to another.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, that's a beautiful passage there.
So what happens is, like that passage I just quoted from John, the book of John expands that. You know, and there are things in the Gospel of John that the book of John expands, and I'll be pulling those verses out of John and bringing them over to 1 John so you could see that. All right.
Okay.
But that's a real nice one. By this shall all men know you're my disciples if you have love one to another. And then you read 1 John, and what is it talking about? It's talking about,
yes,
you know, light, and light is love and darkness is hatred and all. All right. So that we'll call it a night there on preaching or teaching, I guess I should say. And then we can get into music. Amen.
Amen. Yes, John, may I add one thing? Just one thing that just came to me.
Please.
You know, it's like,
yes,
I'm always in prayer and loving what you guys are saying. And it just occurred to me that by your being obedient and following the Lord's guidance as to what you've been studying and teaching us, you have also been loving us and specifically blessing me because of what I was needing during this time of trusting in the Lord and knowing how to walk through this new experience that I'm having, and being able to love him and love you guys and receive as well, because he's guiding you and he's guiding us, and he brings the synchronicity, just as we heard from Rita when she was talking about how she received the setting free and, you know, new levels. And so it's just, you're loving sometimes perhaps without even knowing that it's loving, but it is loving because you're being obedient to him, and he knows how to love and how to bless all those who are participating.
Amen.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when you speak as an evangelist, you look for souls to be saved, right? So it isn't exactly a numbers game as an evangelist, but if I'm speaking as an evangelist and 100 people come to the Lord, like, wow, I mean, that, and now they want to get baptized. I mean,
that's right.
That shows that's gratifying. That's exhorting to an evangelist. Now, when you teach the word, when like you're talking and Rita and everybody is talking, like, oh, that took a burden off me. Oh, I 1 John 3:23. What a revelation that is! I've read 1 John many times, and I've never seen it like that. That is very gratifying for a teacher. That's very exhorting.
Oh, good.
That you got depth in the word, and the point that it was powerful, that it allowed God's grace to flow through you. You were in a little bit of bondage, and now it's not there. So I'm very, very blessed when people see truth in the word that edifies them and brings them closer to the Lord.
That's great. That's great. That's love flow.
All right. So
okay.
Let's go over to, hang on here. Let me get YouTube. All right, I'm at YouTube. And, Sharon, we'll start with you. Now, if you want to pray, if you want to give testimony, or if you just want the song, you know, it's up to you. And the room is open for anybody that's watching on X, on Facebook or Rumble.
Right.
You can call in at 717-409-5553. And you're free to, like I say, give testimony, ask for prayer, or request a song. So, Sharon,
okay.
the ball is in your court.
Okay. Well, you can look for a song for me. How about we go with the No More Tears? We haven't heard that one for a while and stuff. And I just feel so happy to belong to a group of people who love to pray. And I love listening to people pray and stuff. And it might not mean much to other people, but it means everything to me just to hear other people pray and knowing that things that they might say really enhance how I feel about the Bible, about God, and just having lifelong beliefs and stuff. And I know I've mentioned this before, but my dad's dad was a preacher, and he went down to Florida and started some churches down that way. And I met some very, very, very scholared people by just sitting and listening to what they had to say and everything. And it was just a joy to me to be able to be part of that and have all of that be part of my life too. And you never know who you're going to come across and meet in your life. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful to have that. And, you know, you're going through your books, your Bibles, and you open up an old Bible, and there you got writing in it. And all I ever wanted when I was a little kid, I wanted to have those old hands holding an old beat-up Bible. And stuff. That just meant the world to me when I'd see those pictures. Or like in this song, Down by the River to Pray and stuff. And it just, to me, it's just the type of life I grew up with. It's just beautiful.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. That's my testimony.
Okay.
And the fact that I was out of pain for a while there. I really went out of pain. I was so happy, and I'm going to keep that attitude going.
Okay, let's get over here. I've got the song request. Oh,
yeah.
I'll give you a little testimony here.
Okay.
When I first came to the Lord, I've mentioned her name. Do you remember the name Roma Beta, Sister Sharon?
Roma, that sounds very familiar.
Yeah, she was a missionary to the Jews.
Okay, yeah.
And she would be my tutor. And then my family adopted her. She became Aunt Roma to the kids. It's R-O-M-A. To me, I say Romer, R-O-M-E-R, but it was Roma. And,
okay.
Through her, I became friends with their ministry, Message to Israel, it was called. And the man that was ahead of it, or at least this faction on Long Island, was Bud Olive. And Bud had inherited a lot of books from the man that was founded, Message to Israel.
That's and awesome.
Bud had all these books, and he said to me, look, I'll never read these. And I see, you know, you'd be very, I think you'd be very interested. And he gave me this boxes of books from the 1800s. And,
wow.
In fact, I have some of them back here, someplace that I received it from. And I went through it and I said, I'll never be able, you know, I mean, cause I had a job and everything, and I couldn't spend all the time for this. So I ended up calling, Pat Robinson's place there. What was the name of, he had the college, Liberty, not Liberty. You remember Pat Robinson in Virginia Beach?
Yeah.
Regent's University.
That may have been it. So I ended up speaking to the top librarian. And I said, look, I have this book by so-and-so, and this book, would you be in? Oh, yes. Yes. Please. Oh, yes. And I said, okay, I want to donate them. So I made a vacation out of it, and I took Nancy and the kids, and we went down there. And she did everything but kiss my hand. Because these books were,
oh,
like,
my God.
Oh, one of a kind. And she thanked me and thanked me and thanked me for them. And I said, she said, oh, well, these are so important. These, how did you come by these? I must have given, I don't know, 40, 50 books to them.
Wow.
And others I gave away to people that were very interested. And I did keep some of them. I did keep some of them here. So I don't know. You got me thinking on that. But I just wanted to give you that testimony that, yeah, those books were down at Pat Robinson's school there in Virginia Beach. I don't even know how I got to think of that. But anyways, yeah, that was a nice thought that those books were so valuable and, you know, a collection. Okay, here we go. Paula Jean?
I was just going to say that was a great testimony of being led by the Lord, clearly by the response. And it makes sense. It just truly makes sense. It'll be blessing many people. You know, because if he wants someone to see that book and they happen to be in that arena, you know, of accessing the library and resource, it'll be there.
Oh, speaking of that, has anyone here ever heard of R.C. Sproul?
I have.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I came across a video about his, and he talked about Jerusalem and the title of it. So, and I'd heard of his name, but I never read any of his books or anything. So it wasn't that long. It was about 20 minutes. So I'm watching it, and it's pretty good. I mean, the history was good, and things were good from the street. And he got to the very end. And I almost swallowed my tongue and fell off the chair at the same time. He's a preterist.
Yes, R.C.
Sproul is a preterist.
Yes.
And I'm agreeing with him. And I'm going, yeah. It got to the end. And there he is, a preterist. And I went, my Lord, this is. I mean.
Now help me out. What is a preterist?
A preterist.
I'm an innocent.
A preterist. Preterist means past. Preterists call us futurists. They call us futurists. And a preterist believes in the mainline preterists believe in 70 AD, all prophetic prophecy about Israel was fulfilled, and God has no longer any plan for the nation of Israel.
Sad. Very sad. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
The church replaced Israel, right?
Yes.
It's wrong. And it's,
you know, what do these people say about Israel in existence today? You know, but they probably say they're not Jews. I mean, what do you say? God has no more plan for Israel. It's finished. Now Israel's a nation. Jerusalem's the capital. They speak Hebrew. There's a battle going on in Islam over Jerusalem. This war that's taking place is over Jerusalem.
And what about all the promises Father made?
No, they're all for the church. No. Forget that. That's all the church. All those promises of the church. But anyway, okay. 20 minutes. I was deceived for about 20 minutes listening to him. And I said, that's pretty good. I said, yeah, that's I like that. And then I got to the end. It was pure preterist. All right, here we go. All my tears. Sister Kathy, you're up.
Well, I sent you a thing on Messenger, a video, and it's just 3 minutes, so I'll pray while you get it, if that's okay.
Sure.
All right, Lord, we just thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for 2024, and we thank you, Lord, that your blessings were yes and amen, and that's what they'll be in 2025. Lord, we just thank you that you will fulfill your purpose in us, Lord. We will obey, we will say yes, and we will see the Lord high and lifted up. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you have planned for us. Thank you that our steps are ordered, our times are in your hands, and Lord, you're coming soon in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, we just will work while it is day, but Lord, we are just ready for your soon return. And thank you that you are withholding no good thing from us. You are daily loading us with benefits. You're overtaking us with blessings, just like the blessings of learning tonight and discussion tonight and fellowship. And so we thank you that our labor is not in vain. We're not wasting our time. You're storing up our efforts and our time that we've spent forever in heaven, in the book of remembrance. And we thank you that we will be rewarded. We're being rewarded now for doing what you ask and growing and drawing near to you. But there will be a reward in eternity for the time that we have spent studying and seeking you and hungering and thirsting after you. So we thank you so much for that. Lord, we pray for everyone who's standing in the need of prayer on our prayer line. We just thank you for everyone who is rejoicing. We thank you that baby Atlas got his heart. Oh, God, thank you. Let it just be adjusting and adapting to his little body. And, Father, let him live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Let his grandmother, Lord, recover from her cancer so that together they can grow in the nurture and admonition of you. And, Lord, we pray for Jeff Smith with the bone marrow transplant. We thank you and rejoice over Paula Jean's procedure that is healing so nicely and just is done. She is cancer-free. And, Lord, we pray for the family of the judge here who committed suicide in the courtroom last night, and they found his body today. Lord, this man I knew, he had helped with another case for an inmate, and I've spoken to him. And what, Lord, just help people that are at the end of the rope and they turn loose. Let no one do that today. Let no one not enter in 2025 by their own choice. And Lord, help his family, help the judicial system there, because there's just so many questions and so much why not and how come. And so, Lord, we just pray that his family will find solace somehow. And we pray, oh God, for the people that are tanking it up and getting drunk and will get behind the wheel and will have absolutely no coordination, no reaction time. They'll just help there be no drunk driver tonight. Let there be a designated driver behind every wheel. And we just thank you for the safety that New York will be kept in, no deaths, no terrorism, no assaults, no nothing, Lord, like that, and that the police will be safe as well. And we thank you for this fellowship. We bless Chaplain John, and we just thank you for how he has been obedient these years that have brought us all here to this place together in one spirit and one accord. And I just thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you have planned for us. We will be so careful to give you the glory and withhold no praise from you. We will not grow weary in well-doing. We're going to press on to the mark of the high calling. There's a job to do, and the laborers are few, and that's why we're praying that you will open the floodgates of heaven and send angels, Lord, to go into the fields that are white to harvest. We pray, oh God, that you will send us, and that we will be successful in the plan of salvation, and you will put the light over someone that we are supposed to connect with, and thank you for that. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for all our family, our friends, our loved ones. Lord, bless the people in hospice. Bless the people in hospitals. Bless the people in mental institutions and detention centers and jails. Thank you for all the inmates that I've had the privilege of meeting and hearing their testimony and in putting a word to their need, Lord, putting a scripture, putting a concept or a principle and or a testimony, and that we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and the testimonies we're able to share are just powerful. So we thank you for everything you've stored in our heart, and thank you that the Holy Spirit is responsible to bring anything back to our remembrance that we need to know. We have such confidence, Lord, and such thanksgiving for Holy Spirit, Jesus, and you, God. You are just amazing and perfect and awesome. And they will know we're Christians by our love, Lord. They will know we are Christians by our love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Hang on here for a second. Okay. This was very, very popular during the Jesus Revolution 50 plus years ago.
Right. Does it say who wrote it?
No. But can you hear the artillery going off?
It is here at my house, too.
Yeah, okay.
It's a little early up here.
Okay, this must have been made during COVID. They got masks on, except the singer.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
There's a nice voice. She had a very, very nice voice. Sister Kathy up there said...
is that poor doggy scared?
No, Dora has gone deaf.
Oh, okay.
So, but anyways, I'll tell you what, I'd like to hear that again. And Sister Kathy, that might be a nice song to revive again.
It sure would. It would be timely.
I felt, I don't know if it was connected to 50 years ago with me or the anointing on it. But anyways, it really touched me, and I'm thinking this would be a real nice song for the revival of today coming.
It would, and after the teaching of John, 1 John, it sure fits in.
Yeah, yeah. He has a very, very nice voice.
That's a nice song.
Yes. There's another one here. Let me take a look at this one. It's by Justin Unger.
By that class.
They'll know we are Christians by our love.
What happened to it? Probably okay. We'll find it tomorrow.
Okay. Let's give this a try. It's got an old hymn book on it that looks all beat up, but let's see how it goes.
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. With each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. Father, from whom all things will come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, his one and only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us all as one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. By our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our
a request by Nana Debbie too.
Okay, hang on here just for a moment.
Okay. Oh, there's a songbook.
Yeah, I forgot to put it send it over, but I want to see how many songs there are, how many artists were singing it. Have you ever heard of Karen Harbridge? Harbridge.
What was the first name?
T-A-R-Y-N.
Yeah, I've heard just one song.
She's a violinist that sings.
There was some song that we did at the work at the jail with her. Cannot remember the name. Is she singing that?
Yeah.
Well, that ought to be good. Now, I'm going to tell you Nana's Debbie's just in case it gets scrolled up, but I will sing of the goodness of God by Don Moen. So just put that in your mental cap.
No, there's not too many that sing that song. Yeah, Peter Schultes?
Yeah, he's the one that wrote it.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Well, Peter, that sounds like it. And Jars of Clay are one group that put it out. I think they were the ones that did it initially.
Jars of Clay.
I did a Google search while I was playing.
Jars of Clay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let me not waste any time. I'll go back on my own and I'll listen to them and see if. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, tell me.
I will sing of the goodness of God by Don Moen. And this is for Nana Debbie.
Okay.
And This Man Just Popped Up and Said Down to the River to Pray by Alison Krauss when you get a time.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Don Moen, goodness. I will sing of the goodness of God. Goodness of God. They're all coming across as goodness of God. But this one here, it doesn't look like he's singing. It looks like a woman singing. Brooke Nichols. Well, she's singing with him.
Yeah, that's what she that's what she wants.
Okay, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. So good. With every breath that I am with, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. As a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. Goodness of God.
goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
Awesome. And
yeah, is there another request?
Down by the River to Pray,
yes.
By Allison Crest for Desmond and Shala.
Oh, look at that. He does Amazing Grace, too.
Okay, here we go.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down. Come on, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to as I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down, come on down, don't you wanna go down? Come on, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way.
All right, what's next up?
Well, we don't have any more out in Chatland, so.
Well, then we've got Jesus.
I have another one if nobody else is there to do one.
Well, we should.
Yeah, do it, Jackie.
Gigi and Randy. And,
okay, yeah, they'll have two or three.
And Rita.
Just let me know when it's our turn, okay?
Well, I think, Rita, didn't I say I owed you a song?
Yes, you did.
Okay, all right. I'm paying up now. So what song would you like?
Ernie Haas.
Yeah.
Going home.
Yes, yes, yes. We've almost made it to midnight.
Not here. I got a little while to go.
Okay, here we go.
I love it. Many times in my childhood, when we've traveled so far, by nightfall, how weary I grow. Father's arms would slip around me, and gently he'd say, "My child, we are going home.
Going home. I'm going home. There's nothing to hold me here. I've caught a glimpse of that heavenly land. Praise God, we are going home."
Now the twilight is fading, and the day soon shall end. I get homesick the farther I'd roam. But my Father has led me each step of the way. I am going home.
Going home. I'm going home. There's nothing to
it should leave Randy and Gigi and Randy.
Yep.
So
okay, so it is. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
I'm Nurse Matt Jones.
Ew. I'm trying to. I was trying to. For some reason, these people have a lot with. Yeah, okay. So the name of the group is all. Like a run-on sentence, it's Keith and Kristen, which is
what's the name of the song?
In Christ Alone.
In
yes.
Christ Alone.
Alone. But it's by a group. They're actually, their name are the Gettys, Gettys. They're from Northern Ireland.
This sounds familiar.
Be something like Keith and Kristen.
Townsend?
No. Good. This is Getty. Gettys. It says their title is Keith and Kristen.
Yeah, I've got them.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Christ Alone, Kristen, Getty. Okay, here we go.
going to invite some of the Getty Music team to sing this with us. And also our good friend Travis Cottrell is going to join us as well.
Did everybody get a song?
Yeah.
No.
Oh. Who?
Okay. There you go, Paula Jean.
Yes. The Power of Your Love. And I wrote out this place where you can find it on Rumble.
I can't do that right now. Who was it by?
Oh.
Who was it by? I'm just set up to research in... YouTube.
Oh, okay. Well, it was by Carlene Sabin was the website, the channel that it was on. Carlene Sabin. But if you can't do it, you can't do it. And it's okay.
I'll take care of it for myself. No.
And Chaplain, let me just ask you one thing. It's only 2 minutes till midnight. could you get up a shofar and blow it at midnight?
That would be great.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be special?
I could do that. Hang on.
Perfect.
Paula Jean.
Yeah,
right. Is her name C-E-L-I-N-E?
That would be Celine.
No, C as in Charles, A-R-L-E-E-N, last name, S as in Sam, A, B as in boy, I, N as in Nancy. But we're running too close to midnight. We can just blow the shofar.
No, well, we can play it afterwards. Love of my...
Okay, that would be great.
The power of your love. Oh, all right. So here we go. Let me...
Great.
Go over
You're
here.
You're so sweet. Thank you.
Boy, I saved that one, but I don't know where it is. The one that...
Well, on the end of Send the Fire, there's just a very short one that... Boy, the firecrackers are going off around here. It is midnight right now, according to my clock. Lord, thank you for the strike of midnight on 2025.
And where is here that it is midnight?
Georgia.
Okay, thank you.
And 3 hours later, we'll all call you and say, it's midnight in your place now.
No. Once Alan John plays the other thing, I'll be going to sleep too. Here we go. Bring him in the new year.
It's hurting my ears through the headphones. It's like
awesome,
piercing.
Awesome. That was perfect. Oh, that was so neat.
Absolutely.
This shofar blows for 3 hours.
Ooh.
Yeah, let's hang on here for a moment. This is how it ends. It's got a minute left.
Perfect.
Thank you. it is. Okay.
Well, I can safely say I've never had the New Year chimed in by a shofar. That was dynamic. So wonderful.
That was hurting. That shofar sound through this headphone was hurting my ears.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
But wow. It was blessing your spirit.
Mm-hmm. It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
All right. God bless everybody.
Well, are you going to play Paula Jean's song, or did you?
Oh. Hang on here. Let's try it again.
All right. The power of your love.
The power of your love.
Yeah. And I don't know if Carlene Sabin is singing it or if that's just the
site it's playing on. It's her website.
So just put the power of your love in. It's probably Hillsong.
Okay.
Well, I've got Hillsong. I'm looking right at it.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
It'll be fine.
Let me see if I can come up with a name here.
No, that name is not, she is not singing it. That girl's name is not singing it.
No, it's just a website name. Yeah. But it's not an absolute. You can pick whichever one comes.
Well, here we go.
Okay.
Flowing from the grace that I found.
Paula
Thank
Jean.
Thank you, Chapman.
Was that the one?
Amen.
Was that the song, Paula
yes.
Jean?
Yes, it really quickens my spirit's desire for the return of the Lord.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
And Holly said, thank you, Paula Jean. She loves that song.
It was so good. I'm glad. Then it blessed more than one.
Oh, it blessed a bunch. All 23 of us.
All right.
Good.
Sister Kathy, would you close us in prayer, please?
Yes. Oh, Father, we've exited 24 and we've entered 25 with the joy of the Lord, with shofars, with praise and adoration to you. And that is how the rest of 2025 is going to be. Our allegiance, our praise, and our worship, and our adoration, and you getting praise and glory and honor. I bless this day. We thank you that others will be having it happen to them in real time soon. But Lord, right now they've enjoyed the East Coast time. So bless us all. Thank you that in the morning we'll be right back just to praise you and honor you more and more and more. Give us all a wonderful night's sleep. Bless us, Lord, with heavenly blessings, and thank you for each one that's been on. And we give you glory, glory, glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. God bless everybody. And remember, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
O God of burning, cleansing flame. Your blood-bought gift, today we claim.
Send the fire today.
Well, God of Elijah, hear our cry.